Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In this corner, from Reading, Pennsylvania, he's smart, sassy, and definitely not a jinx.
Thanks a lot, Steinmetz.
It's Matt Steinmetz.
Yeah.
And in this corner, straight out of the Yoon,
the chocolate Thor.
He's a certified stud and definitely isn't still rocking a 92 caddy. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
Now, it's time for Steinmetz and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Do you ever go see a big Broadway show? You got tickets to go see Hamilton on Broadway? And you get there, and then the announcer says, Juan Morell, or whatever his name is, the guy who plays the lead role, playing his part today is Joe Johnson. That's the way the show goes today after the open. Matt Steinmetz on vacation. I play the part of Matt Steinmetz. I am Jim Cosimore with you. And I am excited. I'm excited to be with the guru, because I used to be a caller to your weekend show. When I'd be driving around, I'd call you at night.
And not only a caller, Coz, we would call you, and you would just cover the whole gamut, because you're not a one-trick pony. So you are a heavyweight, like Steiny, so I'm excited.
You're the chocolate Thor?
I used to be.
I like the chocolate Thor.
I played some ball here recently, Coz. Might want to call me a Snicker now.
Oh, yeah. Man. Let's get it rolling here on 95.7 The Game. I am excited for this reason, Goo. Football is back. Yes, the Niners played. Won a 12 games last night. I was flipping around the NFL Network, and I'm seeing Baker Mayfield throw it around. Whoa. I'm flipping over and seeing Jimmy Garoppolo whipping around. It might just be one or two series, but I'm having fun.
No, you're an addict, and so am I, and we got our fix last night. And I want to tell you this, not to take the show off the rails early, Coz. I was worried after the Hall of Fame game about the flags and what was going to be perceived, the 15-yard, unsportsmanlike conduct hit. Yesterday went pretty smooth.
That's an excellent point, because that first game, which is a little crumb of taste of here comes football, it wasn't the best played game. It was just a game. Bears and Ravens. We got a chance to see Lamar Jackson. That was probably the highlight of that first game. But last night, you get a full slate. You're at the buffet of football. You're nibbling on this. You're getting a bite of that over there. You're taking a look at this quarterback over here. You're seeing whatever can go on in the NFL. But our focus was mainly down at Levi's Stadium. We wanted to see what the second year of Kyle Shanahan's 49ers were going to look like. And let me say this. First of all, Niner fan, step away from the ledge. I think some 49ers fans got a little bit nervous. You got some injuries. You got some guys who are okay at best. I'm not going to make a 16-game prediction based on one preseason game, but I would say you've got a varsity guy in Jimmy Garoppolo and a bunch of JV guys around him right now. Right now. That doesn't mean they can't grow, Goo. But right now, I got a varsity quarterback, and he's down here playing with the JV squad.
Yeah, and what does that mean at the end when the 16 is done, Coz? Because the pressure, the football world is watching Garoppolo, and I got to tell you, I had that old DVR function, and every time Garoppolo would throw an incomplete pass, I felt some type of way like he's this god. He's supposed to complete every pass. But Coz, this is going to be interesting. He's a soldier. He sat back there on a couple throws, took a hit, completed some, overthrew a couple. I can't wait, because the biggest facade going in sports is preseason, and I hate it. And you see the Niners get a boatload of injuries too early.
Yeah, a lot of injuries, a lot of key injuries. Key in that, you got a guy who takes a concussion who's supposed to be important to your defensive front in Solomon Thomas. Concussions are tricky. We know that. We know that this is something that could take some time, but a concussion this early in the season slows it down. We expected a lot out of George Kittle at the tight end position. We hear a shoulder is going on right there. We've got the running back position with Matt Breida. He's got a shoulder situation as well. Those are just some of the injuries, but those are three key guys that we thought were going to be important contributors to the 49ers on that side of the ball, or on that side of the fence. You got to be unhappy the fact that this team is just not 100% after just one game.
And do you think because the mandate from the NFL, these guys can't get after it like when Low Neal was playing and Kent would be very, active? Do you think that has something to do with it where guys are going out when it's actual go time and they're not used to getting hit?
You know,
I'm just throwing that out
there.
That's
a good one. I was listening to the guys this morning, and Lorenzo Neal was saying because of the CBA, guys aren't able to scrum as much as they used to. They can't hit and prepare. They can't be ready. So when you get to that circumstance.
It's a game of scrum.
Yeah. You haven't toughened up. You haven't calloused the body at all. And if you haven't calloused the body and then you go into a first game, and you know the first game, you got a lot of guys who are trying to make an impression. You got guys who know they're going to be on the NFL roster and they take it on one level. You got some guys who are trying to open some eyes. They're going to do some crazy things out on a football
field. If it's not here, it's somewhere else. You are right.
You know, and you can't keep doing the same thing in practice all the time. You finally get a chance to do it against a group that's wearing a different jersey than yours, and it can get a little out of sorts. All right, here are the things that we got from you, or for you. 9579. That's our text line, 95795. Or you can give us the phone call, 888-957-9570. We'll go through the 49er game. You know, we'll take it a little lighter today. It's just one preseason game. Those are the quick thoughts that kind of jumped out to us, the injury situation. I will say this. If you want to be tough on Garoppolo, you can say he had a couple of overthrows. One of his completions a little behind the guy. The receiver made the nice play on it. But you know what? Two of the three third downs he had, he converts on two of them. The third one, he completes a pass, but they're short on the first down. I just think he's so poised and smart and calm once he gets his hands on the ball. For some reason, I know you think he should be perfect because we have that image. I still feel this guy is really, I think, what we think he is.
Coz, I'm with you. And also, I'm noticing when he's scrambling or on the run, he becomes more accurate, if that makes any sense. Like, this dude does have that poise, and I wonder, does it come from being around the hoodie? And one of the best to ever do it, wherever you stand on Tom Brady, that has to mean something, right?
Yeah.
The Niners got themselves a gem. Now you got to put something around them. Where's the Jerry Rice of the Niners?
And that's the thing, right? That's the thing, is that,
love
again,
Goodwin, but hey.
That gets back to my varsity and JV. You've got a varsity quarterback who understands what he's supposed to do. He went down in scrimmage with the JV yesterday. That's what he did. I'm waiting to see an enormous jump up, and that's why I'm really afraid that everyone on the Niners side, Goo, is out over their skis. I think they think it's a 9 or a 10-win season and
they got a chance
at the playoffs.
Yeah, they do.
I don't think they're that close to the playoffs.
Well, they went 5-0, five games outside of Santa Clara or San Francisco that nobody cared about. But, Coz, this is the NFL today. We are in the microwave society, and people and expectations are there to where the Niners better go at least 8-8 or get 10 wins.
All right, how about this? And here's what I like from Chris in Richmond. Good morning, guys. What's your take on the Eagles game? Any thoughts? It might be facetious, but I will tell you this. I have thoughts on a lot of games that went on last night. I just like the fact that, like you said, I'm an addict. I'm back to watching the games.
Baker Mayfield is real.
Baker Mayfield getting it done.
And I just liked him coming out of Oklahoma, Coz. He looked real.
I'm getting my Nick Mullins jersey, number 4, my 49er Nick Mullins. He brings back the Niners on a big touchdown late, 2-minute drill late in the game, Goo.
Yeah, and I don't know what's happening or what's in the water with these Niner quarterbacks, but they're tough as hell. Beathard took some shots. He reminded me of Jeff Garcia. Just kept getting up. Taking hits, but getting up, Coz.
I'm loving what I'm seeing. I like the fact that the NFL is back. All right, number 888-957-9570. Let's real quick grab 211 Steel. In Fremont. You want to jump on a little 211 Steel in Fremont? Hey, Fremont, what do you think about the 49er game last night? What'd you see?
Man, that defense got shredded. I'm not going to lie. That first string defense, I don't know.
Sure did.
Hey, and then the ball washing with the announcer. Talk about Ward. His sight was, you know, in the sun or whatnot. Come on. That receiver was looking at the same spot, the same ball, and he caught the ball. Dude got smoked. Let's keep it real.
True.
I'm going to say on the flag part, there were some brutal hits in that Browns game, and I thought we're going to be called. they let them play lightweight last night. And you know what? Other than the fact that I went 3-for-4 on my parlay card on a $200-something potential win.
Oh, man.
On preseason?
Yeah, that's my man.
I took the overs, brother. I took the overs only because I figured there's a lot of young quarterbacks that got to prove something. So I took the over, and I got 3-for-4, fellas.
Dang. That's a good one. I like it. 211. Thanks, Steele.
That means he lost, right?
Yeah, that's
right.
You got to go 4-for-4.
Right. I don't want to hear about the 3-for-4.
This ain't baseball where you go 1-for-3 and you're in the hall.
You're batting 700.
Exactly, dude. And you still ain't getting it done.
3-for-4.
Man, are you parlay carding it in the preseason?
Yeah, even for me, there's 800 number for that, Coach.
Dude,
we love you, 211.
That's a different level of addiction than what you and I got. I love seeing all the different games. My take on the Eagles game, Pittsburgh Steelers are a group of cheaters. And I think it's about time the NFL came down on them. If you didn't hear the story, evidently they were using a ball that was a little deflated. And you go back to 2016, the Giants accused them of having two footballs that were deflated.
Not Mr. Rooney's team.
Oh, man, Mr. Rooney's got the pipeline to the league office.
So you think they get a pass, Coach?
Yes.
Because I don't see any stories about this this cheating. Wow.
Rooney runs the league. They're not going to come down. Kraft butts heads a little bit with the league.
They know who they want to get, Coles.
Sure
good
do.
Guys and bad guys.
Man, that's the way it is. 12 minutes past the hour, 10 o'clock in the morning. Coles and Goo with you until 12 noon today. I am excited to be here with Chocolate Thor. Hit us on a text line, 95795. How about this from the 925? 11 wins? 49ers, 11 wins this year? If you count the preseason, maybe 11 wins.
Where are you coming out on that defense last night?
11-5?
It's too early to... I'm not coming down their road.
We're going to break down that. We're also... We know it's a big weekend for Giants fans. You got Barry Bonds' jersey retirement. That's coming up. We'll discuss that between now and noon. Daryl, the Guru Johnson, and me, Jim Cosimore, in for Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Stein, Metz, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Juan Morel Miranda. That's the guy's name who plays Hamilton, right?
Of course.
You don't know
how
that,
could
do
I
you?
Forget? No.
You don't?
I'm an Othello
I went
guy.
Saw Hamilton when it was here. That's a great show. Kids
is that sold out when you go see that show?
Every time. Steiny's on vacation. So I'm filling in today. You and I on Tuesday from the golf tournament.
Oh, man. I got my outfit ready, Coach.
Do you really?
Nah.
You're looking like Tiger?
It. Yeah, I'm working on it.
I'm going to look like Phil. I'll do the Phil dance, and you look like Tiger,
there
and you and
go.
I just go hang out.
And we might bet something.
How about Khalil Mack? Did you hear what Anna Kakarakis just said? You're getting fined $814 large.
But that's like Monopoly, man. It's fake. They're not.
No, it's
you
not.
You know when he reports, Coles, they ain't going to be like, where's that money at, son?
Oh, dang. Yeah. $814K.
That's for guys like us to react to. That's a lot of cheddar.
Welcome in 95.7 The Game. Jim Cosimore in for Matt Steinmetz. Daryl the Guru Johnson is here. You can call him the Chocolate Thor. You can get us on the phones at 888-957-9570. You can text us, and you have been, 95795. How about the... Well, there's a lot of stuff here. You know what? How about this? You know what I found to be endearing to Niner fan? Did you see the logo that they have on the back of the helmets with the Dwight Clark and the number 87?
Just an A-plus, man.
You know, isn't that cool? With the catch in between.
And they didn't wait to week one. They got it done right before preseason. I mean, it's the little things that are big, but that goes a long way. And that's not coming off forever.
No.
That will be on there.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. And you know, the stories that you hear from the people who knew Dwight Clark closely. I knew him a little bit because he used to do the 49er postgame show over at NBC. What a kind and generous, gracious guy. Just a kind guy. But from everyone you talk to who met him and talked about the catch, Dwight Clark would instinctively say to them, what were you doing when you saw the play? Where were you? Who were you with? He wanted to know as much about their story as those fans wanted to know about his story of running in the back of the end zone and climbing the ladder to get to 11 feet up and making the grab. He made it about the person more than he made it about himself. He was such a giver.
Yeah, and when I went to the Cowboy game last year, I didn't know he was going to speak. So on my mind, Coles, was just football. I didn't know I was going to get hit in the cardiac muscle with his words, but not just his words, with the love of the guys behind him. That booth was full. And for you to say that, we have phonies and you have genuine, real dudes. I didn't know Dwight Clark, but I would bet all the money in the world that he was a real guy and loved. And it was on display when he spoke.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you, by the way, thank you, 408. Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's it. Not Juan Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Now, how long will that be? Is that two? Is it like a game? Does it play last 2 hours, 3 hours?
Two and a half,
okay.
You know, because there's an intermission.
Oh, there
is. It's like a halftime.
So what do you go get? Popcorn, drinks, or... wine.
Yeah, all that.
Okay.
I get it all, man.
All right,
and then I go back and I watch the second half of the show. Come on, man. You got to get culture, dude.
Yeah, I got to broaden my
You got to get some culture.
Maybe
Let's get some
year.
Fans in here and find out what they thought about what was going on with the 49ers last night. Was there another game you were keeping your eyes on? Is it exciting that football is back for you? I'm a lifelong Bears fan. I wanted to see what Mitchell Trubisky would do. He looked like spit. I'm telling you.
But what if he threw for four tugs? Then what are we saying?
You know what? Then I'm running around feeling great today. If you're in Cleveland today, right? Aren't you going and buying a number 6 jersey after what Baker Mayfield did?
No, you are. You are. But
Tyrod Taylor
was not the starter.
And he won't be. Tyrod Taylor was not bad.
He should be in Buffalo, but that's a whole other story.
A.J. McCarron could win the job up there in Buffalo. That's what I mean. One night of bringing my addiction back. And I'm bouncing all over the place seeing what's going on. Matt and San Rafael, welcome into 95.7 The Game. What was good about the Niners last night, or what's something that maybe has you a little worried?
So the good that I saw was, first, the safety play was solid. They had to make more tackles than they should have. But particularly Colbert, I thought, looked good. I also thought Julian Taylor looks like an absolute baller. And while he can't necessarily rush the passer like an edge guy, he looks like he might be the answer. I think they may be moving Armstead before the end of training camp. The bad, I don't want to focus on the corners because Ward looked terrible. I think he's always been overrated, but whatever. He's on the team. I can't do anything about it. My concern is about inside linebacker, because with the injuries that they've got and the fact that Foster's going to be gone for 2 games, what I saw is guys that could not get out into the flat to cover the flare or the swing, or even the wheel route, they were always late. The Cowboys were exploiting that the whole game. And then the other thing that you guys talked about, it being JV, I think the Niners' receiving core is a lot better than anyone has given them credit for. I think they've got guys that are going to get cut and play and maybe even start for other teams. They don't have a true one, but I think they're going to be fine. And now that I hear Kittle isn't hurt bad, I thought he had a separated shoulder. Mm. I'm much happier, because after him, it's like, you know, Selleck is okay, and Hukutini, or whatever his name is he made a nice catch, but he's just a blocker. So I'm not as concerned. Oh, one last thing. The run blocking was horrific. Oh, my God. It was horrible.
Yeah, that was tough. If you're going to try to pick out a new running back from this squad, it was hard to gauge because they weren't opening up any routes for him. Matt, thanks very much for the call, which leads me to watching the Giants game, Giants and Browns. Saquon Barkley in his first touch. You see what he did?
Dude, it was electric.
Unbelievable.
I thought he was going to the house.
I know, so did I. It was his first touch.
But if you look at this Niner game, the microcosm of it is the O-line had a bad night.
And you know what? That's going to be a big problem if you're having a bad night now and you got an offensive line. Eli Harold with the bruised knee, maybe it's just a bruise, but you're slowing down a little bit. You need to get timing as you move further along in preseason.
McGlinchey didn't jump out on the TV to me. You know, it's
still
a work in progress. I know it's the fella's first game, but, you know, Dallas was getting after it.
Let me get back to the calls. 888-957-957. Because a lot of people are like you and I, right? They were waiting for games to come, and now they want to spew their takes. And I don't mean that in a negative way. You just need a place to talk about it, right?
No doubt.
Before we were only guessing what we thought. Now we got a little body of work. A little body of work. But we got a chance to see something, and we can start to think about it, talk about it, chew on it. What did I like? Jimmy Ward, I'm telling you, that's going to be some issues, brother.
Yeah, something to watch. Because real quick, I'm special, and this is just something I jotted down on my 8.5 by 11. For years, people have talked about the sod, the field at that new stadium. It was a joke. We saw it come up. People asked, what's going on? They kept trying. But last night, I got to tell you, I'm a big uniform guy. The small things mean a lot to me, Coz. That field looked like Pasadena. The grounds crew, give them the tip of the cap. Give them a raise. That sod and grass look better than the Oakland Coliseum grass.
Who is the sod father of the 49ers?
What's his name? 888-957-9570.
jump or maybe text us the name 95795. Goo wants to give that man a tip of the cap. Looking good. No chunks of grass.
The
guys
red
could
was
cut.
Just glowing. It looked like they were in the Super Bowl.
Did it look good to
yeah,
you?
It looked good.
How many number 10s did you see in the audience, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, fans are ready. Lionel in Fremont, you're next on 95.7 The Game. What do you got for us, Lionel? On the, is it too? We can't overreact, or can we overreact after one game, Lionel? I'm all juiced up here.
You can't overreact at all. I mean, good morning, gentlemen, Comore and Guru. You know, the preseason football, you can't overreact at all. And here's why: preseason football, it's kind of like, you know, Guru, you being a Denzel lookalike. I'm pretty sure you like Denzel. So imagine watching Training Day on like TNT, where there's no cussing or no of the good scenes at all. That's what preseason football is, honestly. I mean, you really can't take anything from it. Yeah, you want them to tackle guys, so they go out on a tackle, and then they bruise up some, they get injured. I mean, the number one rule in preseason football is don't get injured. And that's and pretty much, I know they had a couple injuries yesterday. The only thing I would question really is basically going for it on two in week one of a preseason game. I'm not really for that, because then you can kind of, that's another opportunity for someone to get injured. But overall, don't overact at all. I mean, Jimmy G got in there, he got his feet wet. I'm looking to see what the Raiders do tonight. I mean, honestly, if it was me, if I was Gruden or if I was the Shanahan, I would basically not even play my starters week one of the preseason or week four of the preseason. I'd just let them get in there week two, get a little feet wet, and then, you know, kind of play the first half of week three.
I agree. I got to agree. Lionel, thank you very much. But here's the deal. This team's so young, you can't afford to do that. You got to get every opportunity to give them a little bit of time, even if it's just one or two series. But this, you know what? Maybe I'll ask this in a couple of minutes. We've got Matt Barrows for The Athlete. He writes for The Athletic, covers the 49ers. And I would like to ask him, how much closer after last night do you think the 49er brass is to going to an NFL owners meeting and saying, 18-game season, two preseason games?
Yeah.
I don't want four games to have my guys getting kicked around. I don't want to lose guys in meaningless games.
And look what we're talking about. It's the old adage that, you know, you get hurt when you're trying not to get hurt, Coz. That's when it happens. And if teams aren't going to go not even all out but halfway, it's tragic and it's in the way. But the fan pays for parking. Those beers cost. You're spending money, but you know you're not getting the product on the field.
You know what? We got a guy here at the 510. We were talking about the offensive line play, and according to the 510, he said you got to relook at the game film last night. McGlinchey, the first round pick, he pancaked a few guys, and he makes the point: well, how often does the offensive line ever stand out? It stands out if a quarterback isn't getting pressured, if a quarterback isn't getting hit.
We saw that last night.
Yeah, if a quarterback's uniform is dirty, the offensive line isn't getting his job done. Right. Same thing offensively in the run game. If you don't got guys springing loose, getting free, getting a couple of longer gains, the offensive line stands out. And so I think that's why. But we'll go back and look at it. I'll take a look and see if McGlinchey's the right guy. And if he's, you know, it's one game. Again, it's one game. But don't, our expectations are so high with one game, aren't they?
Yeah.
Going into it.
Now, you talk about one game, Coz. So we got another game upon us next Saturday. How many plays? Garoppolo played 9. What is the metrics for week 2 in pre 18? Or what are we going to say? I don't get it. I don't like that I don't know when I sit down to watch and give you my all how I'm going to, you know, how much of Garoppolo I'm going to see.
All righty. Let's see here. Defensively, this is a team that might have a lot of questions. This is a team that might have a lot of issues. It's one place stands out because you're doing it against the Dallas first team. I'll tell you, Dak Prescott looks good. Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
looks
I'm
good.
Not a Dak fan.
I like Dak.
I can't rob him
Dak.
Of anything.
I might get a number 4.
Seriously?
I might get a number 4, and I might get a number 4 Nick Mullins, who's my new guy on the 49ers with that 2-minute drill to win the game. I might get a Dak 4.
You know who won that game?
Who?
The guy that called the play, Shanahan. That's how I knew Dallas was in trouble. I know it was preseason. He's a sharp mind, and I put him up with the guy in Philly, the coach in Philly, Peterson. I mean, this guy knows what he's doing. He comes from – his daddy did it, and now he has it, Coz. I'm telling you, he's going to make Garoppolo better than he actually is, and that might be what we've already seen.
But who's your Julio Jones?
And that – but people here are calling Goodwin like he's Jerry Rice, and I'm not knocking him. He's fast. We'll talk to Matt, but – I just, Garoppolo deserves better at the wideout position.
I like this from the 415. The NFL wants to expand into different markets. Two preseason games, add just one regular season game at a neutral site for everyone. So you get eight home, eight away, one neutral.
Mm.
Maybe it's in Mexico City. Maybe it's in Toronto. Maybe it's in London because they have how many? Three or five? Are they have five London games this
year? I do
year?
Like waking up and it's already
6:30 yeah, 6:30 yeah. in the
second
morning.
Quarter.
Yeah, and you're ready to roll, right? Well, all right. I'll give you that one. It's kind of interesting to see how the league could eventually play it out. Four preseason games for too long. Everyone's agreed it's too many. You can get a lot of this stuff done in head-to-head practices like the Lions and the Raiders had
there
this
you
week,
go.
Right?
Two you for can, one.
You know what? Get in there and have them do some practices together, open them up. I know they want the gate. I know everyone's going to yell, make it the gate. But I wouldn't mind having the 18-game season. Make it games that matter. Don't make it games that don't matter.
Real quick, are you looking at the Niners and Shanahan and Garoppolo mania to its playoff or bust like myself?
Okay, I am not. I think the five wins under Jimmy G last year, the six wins total on the season for the 49ers, gave everyone an unreasonable out-over-their-skis feeling. I don't think the overall talent is that good. I think the quarterback is fantastic. Okay, I'm really starting to be a believer in number 10. I thought at first, maybe they weren't ready for him. He was kind of ahead of everybody.
Five games is not a lot, and they paid him, so he's already Jim.
And they paid him like you got to make the playoffs. I don't think the guys around him are playoff ready yet.
That's interesting.
Lynch had to turn that roster around, and you don't do it in a season and a half or two seasons. He's still in the middle of changing everything.
Yeah, and we talk about red zone weapons. I was hoping Dez Bryant got a call from the Niners.
I don't
disagree.
Just
to have a conversation.
I don't disagree. 10:32 the time. Let's talk a little bit more 49ers with the great Matt Barrows. He works for The Athletic, and he joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Matthew, thank you very much for giving us some of your time. What stood out to you last night? Preseason game number one, and everyone keeps saying, well, let's not overthink this. But you cover this team day in and day out. What stood out to you about the 49er effort?
The run blocking was not very good, and that's what this whole offense is predicated upon. And Kyle Shanahan has overhauled that unit over the last year, really. The five starters in week one last year, four of them are gone. They're not even on the team anymore. So it's been a total revamp. And it's being built, ostensibly to be a very good zone-blocking team, especially that outside zone run. And that was just thwarted altogether on that opening drive. And that's not what he wants to see. Everything is based off of being able to run the ball, being able to run the ball to the outside. They've got two runners, and Jerick McKinnon and Matt Breida, who are very fast, around 200 pounds. These are not pound-the-rock type of guys, and those runs were pretty terrible last night.
Matt, the Niners suffered a rash of injuries. If I ask you which one concerns you the most, how would you answer that?
Well, I would have said George Kittle, because I think there was a real concern last night that he may have broken his clavicle, just the way he fell hard with that, that arm tucked underneath him. But the report from NFL Network this morning is that there's no structural damage. He'll probably miss time, but he's not out long term. And it doesn't look like any of those guys is going to be out long term. I mean, like we're talking into the regular season. So that's got to be a tremendous sigh of relief for this team. That's the last thing you want to see in the very first preseason game. Is basically five injuries in the first quarter when all of your would-be starters and top backups are playing, and that's what they had last night. So that's got to be a big relief for Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and those guys.
You know what? Matt Barrows of The Athletic joining us here, 95.7 The Game. Matt, I know a lot of 49er fans. We talk to them here. You probably get them in your mailbag all the time. A lot of them are starting to think that this is a team because of the end of last year and Jimmy G. They're ready to make the leap to a playoff-caliber team. How far along the process is John Lynch in turning over the roster from what he had when he started a little over a year ago to what he thinks is a Lynch-Shanahan type of a roster where he can really go to battle each and every week?
I think he's farther along than he thought he'd be. I mean, finding Jimmy Garoppolo last year was a huge step. They got a lot more out of their rookie class than, you know, most teams do. And this year's rookie class seems pretty good, too. So, you know, the roster overhaul is good. It's not certainly not complete. Pass rusher, for example, is a big missing element right now. And I was just talking about the 49ers rushing offense. The rushing defense wasn't very good last night either. I mean, without Ezekiel Elliott, I think the Cowboys picked up 29 rushing yards on their opening drive, which ended up in a touchdown. You multiply that over the course of a game, and that's a big rushing day for Dallas. And that's been a bugaboo with this team. They got better at it last year from their really lousy 2016 effort on that front. But, you know, that's elemental. I mean, if you can't do that, you're not going to be very good. So I think that they are, you know, when you've got a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's as good as everybody thinks, you know, that automatically makes you a team that you can think about the playoffs. Going deep into the playoffs, I think that they might need a little bit more seasoning. I think they might need that pass rush to be better than it's going to be. I do think that there are still some missing pieces to this team.
Matt, keep up with me here. I know last night it was week one of the preseason and that the Niners played the Cowboys. But in my mind, they were playing the Rams. And the Rams got great secondary. They got a great defense as a whole. And I was telling Coles, you know what? I love Shanahan. I think he's one of the top play callers in the league. I like Garoppolo, but I feel like they need, and every team does, a Terrell Owens or a Jerry Rice, you know, as a wide out. Somebody's going to have to make a play. And I say that to say, do you think this wide receiver core is ready and can make plays for this team on a consistent basis so they can compete with teams like the Rams?
Yeah. You know, I think Marquise Goodwin is I don't want to put too much of a expectation on him, and he hasn't done it to this point, but he seems like he has a chance, not just being the 49ers' top receiver, but being one of the better receivers in the NFL. Maybe not, you know, Hall of Fame level like Terrell Owens and Randy Moss and some of these other guys, but you combine his speed with his drive and determination. He wants to be great, and he's putting the work in to be great. He's really sharpened his route running. You combine all of that with a very good quarterback, and you have something there. I mean, it's all projection at this point, but I really believe that he has a legitimate chance of being not just a 1,000-yard receiver, but, you know, one of the top receivers in this league. A lot of things have to happen, obviously. He's got to stay healthy. That's been an issue for him, especially concussions, and that's a scary thing to have looming over you. But like I said, he just seems to have all the tools and the determination to be something special this season.
My bad. I know we're bouncing all over the place with the great Matt Barrows over at The Athletic. Going into it, Matt, if I'm not mistaken, you were looking at Tyvis Powell at the corner as someone who might be able to, you know, be a dark horse that does some good things. Everyone's focused on what Jimmy Ward and what happened to him last night. On Powell, how did he look to you, and what makes you think he could be a dark horse to keep an eye on?
He's been there's a group of cornerbacks on this team. They're all, you know, dark horses. They're all underdogs, and he's been the one who's emerged from that group a little bit. I mean, it's not a dramatic lead that he has on the rest of them, but he's been the one who's consistently been in with the first string unit when Ward and Richard Sherman have been out. He's a very big guy. I mean, he's their biggest cornerback. He's about 6'2", 212, physical. He's going to be the type of guy that can play press coverage all game. You know, I think he's got to sharpen his coverage, his downfield coverage skills and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a dogfight among that group to see who makes it onto the roster. And I think of that group, Powell probably has the lead right now.
Now, could the preseason have started any worse for Armstead, who got injured?
No, I mean, this is a guy who teases with his ability all the time. And then as soon as that tease occurs, he's gone for a chunk of the season, and that's happening again. And the guy who's playing behind him, Julian Taylor, he's a seventh-round pick. He's probably not, if both guys were healthy, he wouldn't overtake Eric Armstead at this point. But, you know, he's given Julian Taylor a lot of play time, both in practice and in the game last night. Taylor was the only guy on either team who was who started the game and then was playing on the last series as well. I don't think it's critical for Eric Armstead at this point, but it certainly does not help the narrative that this is a guy that just can't stay healthy all season.
Matt, before we let you go, should I be fitted for my Nick Mullins number 4 jersey after that brilliant performance in the comeback victory? What a 2-minute drill. I've never seen a 2-minute drill so picture perfect.
Yeah, you might want to fit him for the yellow Hall of Fame jacket. that was impressive. No, it was a really nice 2-minute drill. I mean, that's what these guys do every day in practice. They run that, and most people aren't paying attention by the time that Nick Mullins and the third string offense get out there. But you know, I had a feeling that was going to happen, just because it's something that Shanahan stresses in his practices just about every session ends with a 2-minute drill, just like the one that Nick Mullins ran.
Matt, thanks very much for joining us. You read Matt over at The Athletic. You get him on Twitter, at Matt Barrows. What do you got coming out at The Athletic? What's your next piece going to be about?
Oh, I'm looking at my Minutia Minute, where I go through all the very small things in the game that sort of suggest bigger themes. So I'm midway through that, so I'll post that maybe in a couple of hours.
I saw Jimmy Durkin and Tim Kawakami out at Raider practice the other day. You guys at The Athletic are doing some great things. So, Matt, thanks for the time. We appreciate it, and we enjoy reading your stuff.
Thanks, Coach. Talk to you guys later.
All right, we'll see you guys later. There you go. The great Matt Barrows. Guru is here. I'm Jim Cozumel, in for Matt Steinmetz. We'll step aside when we continue. We'll chew on some of the things that Barrows was talking about. We'll hit you on the phone lines at 888-957-9570 and get some of your text as well, 95795. Got a good suggestion here from someone from the 415 on what's going on with the National Football League and how you look at the totality of the schedule. Codes and Guru, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steinmetz and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
We're having a wicked brawl here because one of my favorite weekends of Major League Baseball is ready to roll. And me and the Goo, I'm coming over the table, Goo. I might have to break it down with you, man. I love the player jerseys, the player weekend. I love the player weekend with their nicknames on the back of their jerseys.
No, I mean, you're trying to be cool. Baseball, be you. There's nothing more sacred than your last name, Cozumel Johnson, on your back. Not these little Twitter handle names.
159 times a year I got Cozumel. The rest of the time I got something else. It's funny.
Wow.
Come on, man.
And I'm going to the park for the whole weekend to see Coolio or who? What are these?
Get off of my get off of my lawn, Koo. That's you're the old guy sitting out front. Get off of my lawn,
man.
I'm the young guy saying, "Come on, man, let's see some changes
but
in the game."
What's the premise to captivate? Are the young kids going to say, "Oh, look at the name on the back of the jersey"? Let's go get 9 gloves and let's go play.
What's really interesting about it is that about 2 months ago, Ben Zobrist of the Cubs wore black cleats on a Sunday afternoon game.
Okay.
And the league tried to fine him like $14,000 because black cleats isn't the uniformity of the uniform rule. Everyone else was wearing blue. He said, "I was just doing it because when I was growing up, my favorite players wore black cleats. So on Sundays, I just wore black cleats. They're dark." The league's trying to fine him $14K for that. $14K is nothing.
All right.
But so my deal is, listen, Major League Baseball, let's get together with the Players Association and try to come up with something that works. I think the players' weekend works. It gives everyone for a weekend a chance to express themselves, do what you want. You know, I used to be the guy who said, hit a home run, put your bat down, run around the bases, go into the dugout. Now, throw your bat into the air, twist around,
You've earned that.
A cartwheel, point at the pitcher, and pitcher, when you strike a guy out, double guns him. I want you to go to your team and get a high five. You know what? The game's about emotion and fun and excitement, and that's why I like the Players' Week.
Okay. Now, I don't want to sound like an old fogey. I told you I'm special. But if it's my first game, a Martian beams down from outer space, and it's their first baseball game, and Buster Posey, whose nickname I have no idea, Captain America, what if that's your first baseball game, and you see your first home run, and Coolio was on the back of you? Come on, Cole, you're dumbing it down.
That's okay.
To appease to who?
You know what? But the Martian, I'm not worried about the Martian sticking around
that
for very long, right?
I've been watching.
But if it's some guy who's watching his game for the first time, he doesn't know the difference. So to him, this might be exciting. He might say on Tuesday of next week, hey, why aren't they doing all the cool names on the back of the jerseys? Like we just saw the closer for the Arizona Diamondbacks jersey for this weekend. It's Brad Boxberger.
Yeah, he had Pitt. Go ahead.
He doesn't even have a nickname.
Well, I got a problem.
He's got the greatest back of the jersey. I might get that jersey now. It's a picture of a box, right? Empty box, unfolded box. Or no, it's a folded box with a top undone and a hamburger next to it.
So what's next? The cell phone and the sock?
Blood
in the earlobe.
You know what? That's
the
where.
The do-rag. Where are we going to stop, Coles?
It's a two-do-rag day for me. That's all. I live out in East Bay, baby. It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like 96 degrees. It's a double do-rag day. Listen, here's what I know. I used to be the hit the home run, walk around the bases. I love the emotion. And this is when it kind of occurred to me. I love that T.O. ran to the middle of the field and he's holding the ball. I love that he reached into his sock and pulled out the Sharpie and he signs the ball. I love that he grabbed the popcorn and he threw it in his face, or he grabbed the pom-poms and he's doing a cheer. I'm at the game to have an emotion. That's it.
And the emotion of seeing a cool name, what you deem cool, does that get your juices going?
I think it could be funny. If guys have a good, like Blake Treinen last year, on the back of his jersey, it said, Balake. Balake is funny. You remember that Key and Peele bit?
Yeah, I'll put on the movie.
Dude, that was the funniest bit ever.
If I want to laugh, I'll go to the baseball game to give me something. And what about the Yankees who say, we don't have any names on the back? Do they participate?
They better.
Babe Ruth roll over in his grave.
Nah, you know what? Babe Ruth in his time was the most colorful character of all. He was always hitting on women in the crowd. He was leaving Comiskey Park between games of doubleheaders, walking across the street, having a beer and a dog, coming back and hitting two more homers. The game was colorful. Let the game be colorful and have some fun.
Because I'm against it.
You sound like a geezer.
You're starting. I need my AA. What is the card? AARP?
That's one version of it. There's another one called MAR something. Maybe someone knows on the text line. But I'm all for it. I hope you're going to the games this weekend. Let's see here. What does Josh Fegley say? PTBNL?
See, that's... Well, give it to me. I don't know.
That is pretty funny. Player to be named later.
That's great.
Dude, that's great, right? Josh Fegley is going to go onto the field with a player to be named later on the back of his jersey.
Now, when his breast cancer awareness,
I love that.
That's a cause.
Yep.
And Mother's Day. I love that.
Yep.
When
yep.
they go with the pink. I even love the NFL when they had a pink. But
I wear my pink A's jersey when I'm doing A's pre and post. When I'm working the Breast Cancer Awareness Day, I wear my jersey over my shirt and tie I'm doing the pre and post. I tear up when they show me all the survivors holding the hand. I'm tearing up now. I love that stuff.
It's real. I do,
exactly.
too. But this is like, it has a SpongeBob feel to it. This is
like
MLB.
That.
It's not cartoons.
Are people buying these jerseys? Are people going to MLB.com are they buying these jerseys?
I would hope not, but I bet some are spending.
We should get a list of the Giants and the A's.
Yeah, we should have that.
Let's get a list of the Giants and the A's jerseys.
I bet you Buster doesn't even have a nickname. He's so old school. You know what? Call me Buster.
It might just say Buster.
Well,
instead of Posey, it says Buster on the back.
Oh, man.
I'm getting the thumbs up. We got the guy working the wheels of steel. Alex Scott working the wheels of steel over there. Give me the thumbs up. John Curley produces this mess here at 95.7. The game, 8:55 the time. Jim Cosmar in for Matt Steinmetz. Daryl the Guru Johnson is here as per always. We're here up until 12 noon today. We're talking a little bit about the baseball and the fun and games that go on with the Players Weekend that I love. But it's a huge weekend for Giants fans. Pirates fans, too. Right? Pirates fans, too. Because he was a Pirate.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds will have his jersey retired. Did you really?
Against the Cubs. I played hooky, got in trouble.
That's
at WGN in the East Bay,
That's
Union
awesome.
City.
Awesome.
And I watched Barry Bonds, and look what he became to be. But anyway,
that is so
all that
awesome.
Under who cares. But
no, but yeah. I do, because I don't know if kids do that anymore. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's got three sons, two are teenagers.
They love it.
He said, we don't go to games. Why? They want to stay home and play. What's the game they're playing on the
My
video?
My kid's addicted. Overwatch. I need help.
Fortnite. They're playing Fortnite.
And now the daughter, 12, she's fighting.
I'm like,
you don't do this.
No. Come on. I got tickets to a game.
Wow.
No one wants to go to the game. I had four on the glass. I surprised my family, four on a glass for a shark game. You'd have thought I came home and was stabbing my kids. They were screaming, no, I don't want to go.
What's happened?
No.
The computer's taking over, man.
I'm telling you, you got to unplug.
Would be like, we're going to the A's or Giants.
Exactly.
It would be like Disneyland.
I couldn't wait. When my dad had tickets, I went to school with my jersey on.
That's awful.
I did not pay attention all day.
I'm about to tear up, Cody.
No. I'm writing down lineups. I hope I see this guy tonight. And then I'm like standing at the door. The clock can't move fast enough, Goo. And I'm looking at my watch. Come on, Dad. We got a game. And now he's got to work a long day. He's got to come home. It might suck
for
him.
What a good man. But that's a real dad.
That's what it's about. And I can't get kids to go now. Anyway, back to the game this weekend. Bonds weekend. We had Greg Pop on. Yesterday I was filling in for Joe. And we had Pop on, and we asked him about his thoughts about Bonds. And he said his reading of this weekend is the Giants kind of read the room and see, you know what? Bonds ain't getting into Cooperstown. He ain't going to the Hall. We're going to give Barry Bonds his Hall of Fame weekend. His moment is going to be here at AT&T Park. You're going to get your jersey retired. For the first time, a Giant gets his jersey retired without going into the Hall of Fame. And this is our moment as Giants fans and the rest of the baseball world, because the Pittsburgh Pirates are included in this, the rest of the baseball world, you get to enjoy this too. Do you think that's what it is? The Giants, see, Bonds ain't getting into the Hall.
Yeah, and I hope our producer's not listening. I know that's his job. John Curley.
I've seen him. He's over there. You know what he's doing?
What's he doing?
Fortnite.
Okay. He thinks that the Giants are putting on this fiesta so that the MLB writers will say, the Hall of Fame voters will say, wow, they did it. Let me call Cozumel. Guess what? I changed my mind. No, I think the Giants, they love their own, and they're naive if they think this shindig would do that. Papa's right. What's new? He's not getting in, and they're going to give him his day in the sun. I'll be there. May need some Kleenex, but you get where I'm going, Coz. I mean,
sure.
He's not going in. It's wrong. This whole era should go in. But I'll tell you this. He is my Mickey Mantle. He is my Babe Ruth. He is the best baseball player I've ever seen put on a pair of cleats.
I think if you just ask writers that question, who's the best player you saw play? Take all of the ancillary stuff out of it. Whether you know or you don't know, it doesn't matter if he used something. Who's the best player you saw in this period of time? Who's the best pitcher you saw in this period of time? I think most would normally say Bonds was the greatest player of his era, no matter what he did or didn't do. Guy stole over 500 bases. He hit over 700 home runs. He won 7 MVPs, 5 of those with the Giants. I think they would say he was the greatest player that they ever saw in their era. I can say Ty Cobb was the best player in his era. I never saw him play. Bonds, you saw play. And you want to know what? Here's the other thing about Bonds. Whether you think he did it clean or not, you watched him. Every time he grabbed a bat, you watched him. My favorite memory of Bonds is when he's at the plate and he swings, pop, 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 pop. The flash bulbs at AT&T, insane. Insane the way people wanted to capture that moment.
Cozen, the moment would consist of one hittable pitch, and he would politely deposit it into China basing. I love Joe Morgan more than anybody knows, and he was in the booth with the A's
game. Oh, that was awesome.
Keep going, Joe. But he's against Barry going in.
You know what? I understand
that.
That
blew me away, and I understand. Love Joe.
I understand it, and that's what makes this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.